So weeks ago, when Peter came to me and he goes, "You're kind of a joyful guy, sort of. You want to preach the third Sunday in Advent?" So I stood there and I, you know, you're like a rabbit in the headlights when that happens. And, "Well, of course I do." And then Alan asked me yesterday, "What's the title of your sermon?" And I said, "Joy and Happiness." And she said, "You're not qualified." So, as you know, today we lit the joy candle, pink in color, or as I research, or rose in color. And you can tell that James, Peter, myself all got the memo. So we wore the appropriate color. But the pink in color signifies a greater emphasis on the joy of the season. Joy. Joy and happiness. Is there a difference between joy and happiness? Over time, I've heard people say, "Happiness is a feeling, but joy is not." Or, "Happiness is fleeting, but joy is everlasting." How about, "Happiness depends on the circumstances or other people, but joy is a gift from God." And last, "Happiness is worldly, but joy is divine." Okay, it doesn't sound quite right. So, now I need to look up the definition of happiness. Happiness. Happiness is a state of well-being, a pleasurable or satisfying experience. Okay. Now, joy. Joy from the word rejoice, meaning to feel great delight, to be glad. So, it looks like that there is no explicit difference between happiness and joy. Both involve the emotions, both are pleasurable feelings, and both are mentioned in scripture in passages that equate the two. Which means, if a person is joyful, then he or she is happy. There is no such thing as glum joy. So, with all that being said, how's your joy? Have we been trying to find joy and happiness in our government? No joy there. Politics, no joy. Society, no joy. Culture, material things. We have entered the past couple of years some very trying times. And we are all going through some sort of trial. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. This is the very first thing James writes in his letter. Why? Because of its import. Many Christians think once they made the decision for Christ, that everything will fall into place and life will be peachy. And when trials and tough times come upon them or continue, they begin to question why. Wondering how they could possibly endure horrible circumstances and consider it joy. Peter also tackles the subject of joy through trials. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you loved him. You love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with the inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Major joy here, the joy of salvation. Our greatest reason to be joyful is that God wants to save us and spend eternity with us. We see the instruction of what we should do. Consider it pure joy. In this you greatly rejoice. Why? Because trials make us stronger. James passage clearly states that the testing of our faith produces perseverance. And Peter's passage states, our faith, which is priceless, will be proven genuine and result in praise to God. But how? How can we find joy in the midst of all the junk, the hardships, in the painful circumstances? We need to understand that the joy the world gives is not the same as the joy the Spirit gives. Worldly joy or happiness comes and goes like waves hitting the shore. It isn't something you can cling to when things go bad. The Spirit joy and happiness, on the other hand, can stay with you for the long haul. The fruit of the Spirit, including joy, is like a bottomless well of water. Even in the darkest days when sadness, grief, loss may threaten to overwhelm you, God's joy is there. We need to understand that God's joy cannot be taken away. Oh, you might think that it's gone, that the hands of misfortune has snatched it from you. But it's not. As believers, we are promised his joy. Just as our salvation is assured through Jesus' one-time sacrifice for all, Jesus' words in John 15:11, and I suggest you should go to that chapter and read the whole context, but that's a whole nother sermon. But he tells his followers, I have told you this so that my joy be in you and that your joy may be complete. Ha! Here's another joy, the joy of spiritual maturity, meaning that the Holy Spirit works in us to bear more fruit. We become confident in God's promises and rejoice in our walk with him and with other believers. We need to stop wallowing, whining, and complaining, and grab onto God's joy. Just like salvation, joy is free and perfect gift from Him. And we must reach out and accept that gift. Grab on to it like a lifeline. Choose joy over bitterness, anger, and sorrow. Make a decision to choose joy every day, no matter what. Remember, the joy of God's presence. For the Holy Spirit draws us to God, whose presence we can know true joy. Without the Holy Spirit, no one would seek God. God's joy is there, is really there. You consider each trial joy. You can greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, even when you feel like you're face first in a mud puddle. You can endure whatever circumstances are making you fear right now. If you have been saved through faith in Jesus Christ, you have all you need. Grab onto God's joy. Amen.